Welcome back to the Dog Gone Wrong podcast, where myself and others share their mistakes and help you lift the guilt burden. I'm your host, Sarah Roper, the multi-dog maven. Hello and welcome. It's a very cold January and I am back and I wanted to talk to you about Mizzle. She's my youngest Daxie. She is third generation of my own and she is coming up for three. She'll be three in August. And she's already been a journey, so I know that she's going to be more of a journey by the time we're finished. So, a bit of backstory. I've talked before about how Moss arrived and how I lost his mother, Jazz, in the process, unfortunately. Mizzle is Moss's granddaughter. So, I had Ripple out of Moss, and Ripple gave me a beautiful litter of five boys in 21, and I've always had this dream of having my own homebred bitch, and Jazz didn't give me them in her two litters, and Ripple had the first litter, all boys. I was not in a position to keep one at that point anyway, so it was kind of good that they were all boys and they're all in great homes and happy as anything, which is lovely. And that was the first litter that I'd raised with Puppy Culture, which is quite a in-depth program of what you do with the pups before they leave. It helps them deal with frustration easier. It builds on their immune system. It makes them more trainable. You know, there's lots to it. And I loved doing that with that litter. So the year after, I went to another stud dog and Ripple was very heavily pregnant. And unfortunately, she had to go in for a C-section. It was with my favourite vet, Heidi. And when we kind of walked back into the vets, you know, an hour after leaving her there for the C-section, one of the veterinary nurses or one of the staff on reception said, oh, you know, you've got seven. And I was like, wow, that's a big litter for such a little Daxie. You've got seven, you've got six girls and one boy. And I was like, oh my God, you know, I'd got people on waiting lists for girls from the year before, from before then. And of course, I was definitely going to be keeping a girl this time. So it was like, I'd be spoilt for choice. It'd be brilliant. And the pups were brought out to me before Ripple was. Yeah, she had to come round and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So they brought the, you know, soft crate out to me in reception so I could look through them. And I picked one up and I went, oh, that must be the boy. Okay. Pick the next one up. Oh. This is a boy. And as I'm doing this, Heidi comes out and says, oh yeah, all went well. But, and she says, and she said something. And I says, well, someone's just told me that we've got six girls and one boy. And she said, oh, no, it's six boys and one girl. And I was like, okay, well, at least there's one girl. And it was a little black and tan girl, which is Mizzle. So, I reared them with Puppy Culture, and as part of that you have what's called puppy parties, and this is not like what you'd normally expect of a party or a puppy party like what you'd have at the vets. This is more, it's quite structured, and it's before the pups are 8 weeks. It's only the pups in the litter present, but you have different pieces of equipment, like a very, very low, almost a dog walk, but like a little tiny bridge, and a wobble board and a tunnel, and you have two people per piece of equipment. You have a clicker, you have plenty of rewards, you've introduced the clicker a couple of weeks before this to the puppies, and you're just rewarding any kind of braveness, boldness, any interaction with these piece of equipment. And obviously over the course of the puppy party, usually not always, the pups are going over them and being clicked and rewarded, and you have one person one side of the equipment, the other person the other. One's kind of training, clicking, and the other one is kind of making sure the puppy's safe and not going to fall off or anything like that. There's no pressure involved, you know, it is all at the pups' kind of speed, what they choose to do, and all the good stuff is rewarded. But it also teaches them to be handled by other people, and it teaches them confidence around new and novel objects. And so I did two of these puppy parties with this particular litter. I did two with the previous litter, and everyone who came to those two puppy parties with the litter of seven was like, wow, you've got your hands full with that one, i.e. Mizzle. Bold, confident, you know, could do everything, which, to be fair, that's what I wanted. That is definitely what I wanted. And, you know, she'd have to be, you know, for Ripple. Otherwise, Ripple's such a big character. If it was all very shy and retiring, it'd never really do anything because Ripple would just barge her way in because that's Ripple all over. So, you know, and she used to beat up her brothers playing and stuff in the puppy pen, and she was full of it. And, you know, I always joke now that from the second that that girl opened her eyes at 2 weeks old, that she had the side eye. You know, the really, what are you doing? She's the queen of side eye. And that hasn't changed. And she's tiny. Like, she's a lot smaller than my other two. She's how a mini Daxi should be, when my other guys and other litters and her brothers from the same litter are all kind of above 5 kilos. Not massively over, but the weight limit is now being removed. For those of you who don't know, with miniature Daxis, 5 kilos and under was what was required in the show ring. That's now recently been removed, but it's a thing. I quite like them between 5 and 6. They're a bit more substantial. You can get minis that are like up to like 9 and 10 kilos, which is ridiculous. But, you know, if that's the dog you've got, that's the dog you've got. But yeah, Miz is like tiny. When Ripple, I always said when she was a puppy, she was like the bulldog of the Daxi world because she's got so much bone. Her legs are so thick, you know, this, and she's got quite a boy head, quite a broad head. When Mizzle is like, there's no mistaking that it's a girl. She's very feminine, very fine. Yeah. So as, you know, the rest of the litter started to leave, I was exhausted. Doing all this work with 7 puppies was hard. The year before, when I'd done it with 5, I'd had Lily around a lot more to help me. And obviously another trainer and that kind of mentality is a massive help. But this time, although of course she was around, it wasn't like she didn't literally move in, which she did the previous year. So, and having 2 more puppies might not sound a lot, but it was. So I was exhausted, absolutely exhausted. And I got a lot going on with my business. I'd got emails backwards and forwards to do with my divorce. You know, it was a stressful time. I was glad I'd finally got my homebred bitch. There was also that anxiety of, how am I going to fit everything in? And also the pressure I'd put on myself. You don't have an excuse. If you've bred them yourself, you can't go, oh, it's a rescue, or it's something that the breeder did, or, you know, whatever. It was like, no, this is totally mine. It's mine doing. So if it doesn't work out, it's on me. And yeah, so with Ripple, when she arrived, she was just confident as anything and I could just crack on with her. And Ripple is still, you know, anyone and everyone's friend. She's just in your face and wants to be there and, you know, would die if she didn't get attention. She's a real drama queen. And I was conscious that I wanted to get things right again. I didn't. Is the short version of this. If you don't want to hear all the ins and outs, then switch off now and wait till the next episode. But yeah, the short story is I didn't go right. There were a few incidents that didn't help that massively set her back. All is not lost. You know, she's a good dog. She's going to Crufts this year. I can't wait. You know, she's competing. She's fab, but she's more complex. And I kind of wanted to share her story with you. It's cathartic for me. And especially being a more recent dog, it's not like one that was years ago where I made most mistakes before I knew more. But I am also a massive believer that we're always learning. So, you know, even in the last few years, I've made mistakes. And one of the biggest things is I've overprotected her. After she had a couple of negative incidents, which I'll go through in a minute, I was too protective, which meant that she didn't learn that resilience of sometimes things don't go to plan. Sometimes you're not going to be quite happy about stuff, but actually if you tolerate it and get through it, all is well. I've not been able to give her kind of that stress vaccination.
Yeah.
And she's a totally different character to Ripple. I say that there are obviously many similarities, but yeah, very, very different in many other ways. So some of it in the early days, and I'm talking like between 8 and 16 weeks here, there was quite a few things that happened. And one of the things was I found myself for a good while, like, she wasn't cuddly, like, was too busy, like, did not want to be held, did not want to be picked up, did not want cuddles because she was too busy. She needed to be on the floor, running around, getting a toy, going and beating her brother up if, you know, they were there or whatever. And just too busy to sit and not. So that was a struggle for me because I'm used to having, you know, a dog, especially a Daxi, that likes attention. She would have attention, but on the floor and then I'm off, gone. And it'd be very brief. She wouldn't kind of lay on you and lay down with you and chill, because that's just, at that point, it just wasn't her. Compounded with the fact that I kept putting off doing bits of training with her. You know, it's simple stuff like sit down, you know, wait, stuff like that. Because I was running around with my business at the time as well and trying to fit a puppy in. But I also wanted to be able to film these sessions so I could use them to help teach others. And because I looked like, you know, I'd been dragged through a hedge backwards. I was covering quite a few dog walks at that point. I think we were short-staffed. It just wasn't, you know, like, I didn't want to go on video and look like, you know, the Wicked Witch of the West, or do it in my PJs, which is something I definitely have changed now. I do train in my PJs quite regular, and I will film it and I will put it out there, because I'm like, well, if I don't do this, it ain't going to get done. So it's just the way it is. But at that point, I didn't want to. So because I didn't want to kind of like get showered, get changed, put my face on, sort my hair out before training so I could film it, I just didn't train, which was stupid. But that's what I did. Until I got to a point where I was like, I've just got to train this dog, and just didn't film it, basically, because I knew that there was stuff that I should have been getting on with. So within that time, I'd got visions of, I wanted to get back into the show ring, and I'd shown Moss, never showed Ripple. So I'd shown Moss, I'd never shown Ripple. I had shown Fern as well in the early days of having Fern. And I thought, well, I best get her to ringcraft classes and get her this experience. And I'd been with Lil the year before to these particular ringcraft classes because she took Iggy and quite liked the vibe, nice, you know, environment. And I just thought, right, I've just got to get on with this and do it. The ringcraft classes I went to originally with Moss had shut down, so I didn't have that option. And I took Mizzle, and it was a lot. You know, there was a lot of big dogs, quite a busy place. But, you know, she did some lovely walking up and down the first week. But there were certain things there she was a bit like, I'm not too sure about this. But there was like big fluffy dogs, and there's not a lot of space between. And of course, being so tiny at such a young age, I think the first time she went, she was 12 weeks. So she was, you know, it was a lot. But I didn't put any pressure on her. It was like, we can do this or we can't. Even if you just want to sit here and do nothing, that's fine. And just watch the world go by and watch these dogs. I took chews, you know, working on her settling on a mat when she wasn't, you know, up and doing. And it was either the second or the third week we went, and I put her on the table. So when you're showing small dogs, you are expected to place them on a table and put them in a stand, or stacking is what it's called in the show world, when a judge will kind of go over them, check their ears, check, you know, that they are conformationally, they'll put their hands all over the dog, and the dog is expected to stand there. You can hold them and you can, you know, use treats for this, that's absolutely fine. But for a tiny puppy, obviously you don't expect that straight away. So I kind of went with the aim of, you can go on the table, you can get fed, someone might come near, they might stroke you, and then we get off and go. Just make it a nice positive experience. So we've done this with a couple of the trainers. I say that with like with bated breath. There are excellent trainers out there who specialize in ringcraft, but I wouldn't particularly call these people trainers, but I don't know what else to call them, so that's what we're going to call them. And a couple of them were lovely with her and were like, oh, you know, how old is she? So we'd just be chatting while Mizzle's on the table. I'd be feeding her and they'd say hello to her, they'd stroke her, and then would be off, and that was fine. And then there was an older lady that came to do the same kind of thing, so a third lady, and she started trying to make her stack. And I said, oh, she's only young, you know, I just wanted to have a good experience really at this point. Oh, no, well, she has to do it. She has to learn at some point. And at this point, I'm like, ooh, and I'm trying to get her off there. And it's one of my biggest kind of regrets of just not getting her off there quicker. I suppose in my mind in that moment, what I was thinking was, I want to get my point across to this lady and I want to end this session with her on the table positively, even if it's just this woman talking to me and Mizzle feeling okay about it before we move on. But it didn't work that way. And I ended up having quite a discussion, heated, with this lady before then taking Mizzle off. And I never went back again because I just knew that she wasn't going to listen to me. And Mizzle obviously went into shutdown. She was like, no, 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 I can't. And, you know, trying to scramble up me, which is, it's not nice. And it's not what you want with, it's not what you want with any dog, but definitely not a young puppy. So I decided to never go back to that ringcraft. And ringcraft is kind of a dying thing for ringcraft clubs, or at least in the area that I was living at the time. I was already travelling just over an hour to go to that one. Oh, I did try a different ringcraft not long after. I forget these things and then I start talking about things. And she wasn't happy about being on the table, and they could try and work with me, but I went, I think, a couple of weeks and then kind of knocked it on the head. I got to the point where I was like, well, why would I push her through this? Like, I could, and she would get there, but is there really any point? Is showing that important to me that I want to put my dog through that? And I came to the conclusion of no, I don't want to. It's not that important to me. It would be nice to go back in the ring, but I'd rather do it with something that particularly enjoys it. And, you know, maybe now's not our time. I'd rather work on everything else with her. So that was that knocked on the head. Because of that, and I'd regularly take her, well, I suppose the one thing that she did learn to do very early on was lots of pub trips, meeting up with friends, socialisation at the end of the day. And let's face it, who doesn't love a bit of pub training? So I'd take Mizzle. She's got like this kind of carry box thing, which you can fold out. If you like unclip it and it folds out into it like a settle mat. It's fab, brilliant design. And it's got like a little tie thing on it. So I could take her, you know, especially if it's cold or, you know, dark and things like that. I could carry her there in the carry box, open it up. She'd have chews. And then I'd tie her on like a clip onto a collar or a harness from the mat. So she could stand up, turn around, lie down and have her chew. And I could be there with her. And when obviously she was tiny, so she attracted a lot of attention. And more than once, I'd have people who would kind of sneak up and be picking her up so she'd be midair before going, oh, can I pick her up? When it's like, well, I don't even know what you're asking because she's already in your arms and already midair. And sometimes with this, she would still be tied to the mat, which obviously these people wouldn't realise. So that's then also another thing, because that was quite a weight on her as well. Physically, it hasn't harmed her. But then I was getting to the point where I was like, no, can you just ignore her? And I was too snappy. And I think that that has had an effect on her behaviour. You know, she's seeing me going, can you just not? She just needs to learn to ignore everything that's going on. But people think that they have a right to, because it's a puppy, that they have a right to pick it up because it's small. And to interact with it. And it's like, well, no, but the way I went about it of trying to advocate for her has actually not helped her. So yeah, and there was a few things like that that I think haven't helped her. So then as hormones started to kick in, very similar to what I had with Fern, which was also on my mind of hormones starting to kick in, oh, she's doing the odd bark at things, oh, she's not happy about this. And then, you know, my brain goes to, oh, God, I've got another reactive Daxi. I can't go through this again. I haven't got time for this. And being angry, not angry at her, just angry at the situation. And I haven't got the time, patience or energy to go through this whole thing like what I did with Fern all over again. When really what it was she was telling me she wasn't sure about things and I should have just worked through it. Rather than them be going into total defensive mode. And I'm sure she would have picked up on my energy of, oh, for God's sake, even though I wasn't saying that. And I, you know, but, you know, dogs are not stupid at the end of the day, which would have also made it worse when it should have just been, let's just work through it. It's okay. You know, nothing to worry about. Let's just carry on. I then overprotected her, like, you know, we can't go near that. Oh, we need to give that dog a wide berth. Oh, we need to do this. And I was still really busy with everything and, oh, it was just a recipe for disaster, really, I suppose, for her. By this point, I think by the time she got to about 5 months old, she was a lot cuddlier. She enjoyed attention more from her people, but we'd got to that point where it was, these are my people, and if you are not my people, I can be around you, but if you want to interact with me, I'm not going to like that, and I'm going to bark and shout at you. We obviously went to rally classes as well, which obviously I know everyone really well there. She's definitely better. Like, there's people there that can pick her up now. But even she, you know, I'm not a believer that just because she's a small dog that anyone should be able to pick her up, because that's just not fair. And, you know, Daxies can wriggle as well. And I don't want her wriggling out of someone's arms. But yeah, I felt myself getting really frustrated because I just... Especially because Mizzle is black and tan like Fern was. The comparisons were just too easy to be making. And then compounded with looking at Ripple, her mother, who was the total opposite, as in, I need attention and everyone could be my friend. I must go and meet them, to, I don't like people. It's such a contrast when she was in with the litter, she was so confident and so bold, just like her mother was. Yeah. But I was just struggling. totally struggling. I moved then, moved counties, we moved house, moved everything, and started the crew and started doing the turbo calls, which kept me accountable. I did compete with her before then, competed with her at Stoneleigh for rally for the first time. I think she was under 12 months, put it that way. And she did well, and I didn't think she was ready at all, but she did, and she... I can't remember what, but she did well. She qualified at the very least. She might have even got, I think she might have scraped an excellent qualifier, which is not exactly what I was expecting, but it was a nice surprise. But yeah, starting to do the turbo calls with her, I started to really see the excitement. As soon as you kind of start anything training wise, she's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And she is a million miles an hour when Ripple will do it. And, you know, she loves training just as much, but she's more thoughtful. And we'll work through it and be like, okay, yep, we can do this. When Mizzle does not think, she asks questions after and just, but the energy is there. It's like ding, 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 or like ping, 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 ping all the time. Like, must do it, must do it, must do it. Which is really nice. It is. And it's had, it, you know, it's made me have to kind of adjust, especially if I'm going from training one to another, I have to be very conscious of, okay, I'm training a very different dog now and we have to do it in a different way. And because Mizzle rushes at everything, some of her foundations aren't as strong as what they should be for sports anyway. So I'm having to break things back down again because she's just like, yeah, 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 I can do it. And I've probably at points gone, yeah, you can do it. Let's move on. When actually I should have just carried on for a bit longer. We came into early 2024. I was getting Ripple fit for Crufts because she was on the obedience team, the interregional rally team, and was concentrating more on her because it was obviously more important at that point, but just keeping Mizzle doing stuff in the background. And I decided to try man trailing, and we were going for this intro session, and she'd not been well a few days before the intro session, as in really bad diarrhea, like black, like gooey stuff. And I'd give her some stuff to support her and it had cleared up, but she was still a bit funny around having treats. I think whatever she'd had really upset her. She'd eaten something that she shouldn't by the sounds of it. And I thought, well, I'm on trailing, it's meeting, you know, it's going and finding people. This could be quite challenging, but it actually could help her get over her issues with new people. So we went for this session. It was difficult because she wouldn't take the treats very much because she was obviously a little bit tentative, thinking it's going to make me feel ill, when in herself, she was fine. And we had a great first session. But as part of that, I thought, you know what, I'm going to put her on some pre and probiotics, kind of not just as a cure, but as a preventative for future. She'd also been hormonal and all of that, and we'll come on to that in a second. So I put her on pre and probiotics daily. And her behaviour, like within a week around new people, was, you know, it's not 100%, but I'd say at least 60% improved on what it was. And I was like, the only thing that's changed is the pre and pro. And then I start to realize, of course, you know, these are things that I used to advise to clients years ago of, you know, if I'm going in for a behavior case or, you know, something, especially for reactivity, support their gut because that makes them feel better in all ways, so they're going to have more patience and they're going to be a bit more resilient and all of this, because it's the same with people. If we have a dodgy gut, you're not going to be very friendly because you don't feel great. Kicking myself then that I was like, oh, why didn't I start this before? She's been on pre and pro from then to now, so she's carried on and it has made a difference. The type of pre and pro as well, I played around with that, has made a difference, but I've stuck on one now, which seems to be helping her. There may be another one out there that could help her more. I don't know. But she did quite a few sessions of man trailing and built up her confidence with going and finding new people, going up for fosses, which is brilliant. And we also started the obedience team. And that meant that she was around more of her family, I suppose, two of her litter mates, one older brother, her mother, and their people. But when you're sat around, whether it's at practices or whether it's at competitions, you know, there are quite a bit of time where you're sat around and, you know, and then would end up with helpers and that was more people added to her circle. And she's definitely improved. Now, she's still barky,
barkier than the others. Like, they all bark, but then they shut up when they get attention, basically, when visitors arrive. But if it's someone she hasn't met before or someone she hasn't seen for a long time, then she's more barky. But I found the best way to help her settle quicker is either, you know, of course, if I stood there with a handful of treats, she would be with me and be fine and not be bothered. But I do want her to learn to actually interact with these people when they're coming into our house. Unless, obviously, it's workmen, and then, you know, the dogs would be shut away and I wouldn't be bothered. If the person sits down, like on a sofa or something like that, then within a couple of minutes, she's their best friend because she wants the attention. And that side of her has massively changed. She is more or less as needy as her mother when it comes to, I want to be on you, I want attention, which actually goes in our favour when we're working with new people. So the team's definitely helped. Another thing that I had early in 2024 was Rowan, which is a lovely photographer that I know, had invited us on a photo shoot for a harness company. And I said, I remember emailing her back. I'd not seen her for a few years and she'd used Moss and Ripple before. And I says, look, I've got Mizzle now, but, you know, she'd probably just come along just to be in the background to get used to kind of the environment. You know, me thinking she's going to hate this situation. You know, it's just, and especially like people messing with her, like harnesses and stuff, like messing with her body. That would mean like picking her up and all the things that she wasn't particularly happy with. And Lil came with us with Iggy just as an extra dog. And she, like, they ended up being involved with the photo shoot and Miz did. And Miz coped really well, even though there was like basically strangers messing around with harnesses. And that, you know, and it wasn't a training session by any means, but it definitely, you know, she's starting to really make progress at that point. And then Rowan invited us on a few others last year, which was lovely. But there was this one particularly that I remember, and I think it was early in 2024. It was after the harness shoot. And she says it was for a bone broth company, bone broth for dogs. It was at some like cottagey house in, I don't know, Sheffield somewhere, I think. And the kitchen had been set up for a photo shoot. So, and there was a paid model there, lovely lady, a black lady, which, you know, Mizzle hasn't been socialized really around people of color, of any like other kind of, just, it's not been our world. So I was thinking, and I didn't know this until I got there, because that wouldn't be something that you'd mention because it's not relevant. Mizzle walked in there as if she owned the place, and she was being handled by, she was absolutely lovely. I can't remember her name because I've only spent an afternoon or a couple of hours with her. But the model, she was beautiful. And Mizzle had to be on the table, like the kitchen table, while she was like preparing this bone broth and not touching the bone broth and all of this. And she was being stroked by her. She was being held by her. And there wasn't a single bark. There wasn't any kind of anxious body language. She did brilliantly. And, you know, other things that I was very proud of her, because, you know, I'm having to be off to one side and she's having to practice all this food refusal for like the best thing ever without me being like, stop, wait, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So she was brilliant. I mean, the other two came with me. And I do think there is, you know, she does take confidence from being with Moss and Ripple, because of course they're fine around people. They don't care. Well, they do care, but because they want attention. But it's not a worry. It's more of an opportunity for those guys. But, you know, in these particular shoots, you know, the other two were in a box, like down to one side. I say a box, a soft crate, and Mizzle's on the table doing it all herself. And that was a big, big breakthrough. And yeah, I mean, we're now going to Crufts for the obedience finals. I'm not worried. She's come a long way. She's still got some way to go. She's not the easiest of dogs. You know, if there is something to be barked at, typical, I suppose in some ways she is a typical Dachshund. Someone walking past, something like as in, you know, out the window, things like that. She is that dog when the other two are not. I suppose in some ways behaviourally she's the closest I've had since, closest to Fern, but she is not on Fern's level. And a lot of it with her now is, I'm just going to make some noise. There's not the fear and the anxiety there. But yeah, I wanted to kind of go over some of her story, because I'm sure I will keep you all updated as it builds, as that story kind of progresses. She is the most loving dog now. And, you know, once you are properly within her circle, Like, she'll talk, like, she could walk through a high street with lots of people there and she won't bark. If someone tried to stop and manhandle her, then she may bark now. But, you know, like, walking through, that's easy. But especially, I suppose, when you've got multiple dogs, if you've got one that starts to be a little bit barky, then the others like to join in, which is just a nightmare. When the other guys are pretty good. But of course, if I left Mizzle to just bark and bark and bark, then the others would be like, oh, we're barking, I'll just join in. Which obviously I don't. And it does make a big difference that Mizzle is very foodie, other than when obviously she wasn't feeling well. Going back to hormones for a second, with every season, and I've noticed this in every female dog I've had, going back to seasons, and with every season she is maturing more. Like, she was in season just before Christmas, and I do think that she's matured more since coming out again. But we also have that constant cycle with her where hormones make her more likely to react, which is the same in any dog, whether they're a reactive dog or not, that, you know, it makes them more emotional. You know, we can all relate, I'm sure. But with Daxies, it's very, very common for them to have phantom pregnancies and things like this. So you have those hormones, which then just prolong everything. I think we may be getting to that point with Mizzle, where she's potentially going to be having a phantom, but we will see and we will cope with it as we usually do. I suppose the biggest thing that I've forgotten to say, I was going to say skipped over, but I haven't because I'd forgot to say it, is another thing that she's been having. We've had two dog walkers, so she's had to get used to them coming in and out when there's no one else in the house. I started taking her to Hydro because the way she moves on her back end isn't straight, for want of a better term, I think. As in, it's just, you know, I was having a physio coming out every month. It was the end of 23 and then right up to May 24. And giving them all massages and giving me tips and stuff because I was obviously getting them back into dog sports. And she'd said for Mizzle, because she was finding that every time she was becoming hormonal that her patellas would be slipping on her back end. But I know this, you may not, that when bitches come into season, their ligaments and all of that kind of loosens up and gets a lot looser with the hormones. So of course, around that time, of course, if you're going to see any issues, it's going to happen then. And interestingly, I've known a Labrador go off, have a cruciate issue just before she came in season. Well, yeah, that's ligaments. So, and what the physio had said was, you might want to try Hydro to try and, you know, strengthen her up. And with me doing more and more kind of competition heel work and stuff like that, I just wanted to, while she was still young, I just wanted to kind of make sure that everything was right and kind of just set her up for success, really. So she said, try Hydro. So contacted the local Hydro and they said they wanted a vet referral. So that's fine. Just for fitness, nothing else. So contacted Heidi. Went to see Heidi, literally so she could sign a form off. She'd not seen Mizzle in over 6 months, so she needed to see her. And she gave her a general check over, as she does, and she put the stethoscope on. And as soon as she did that, I knew. And I says, oh, don't. I says, don't tell me. And she went, yep, grade 2 heart murmur. I was like, oh, wonderful. Considering, obviously, she was my only hope of continuing my line. And part of the panic of her behavior was, for me, was I'm not breeding from a barky bitch, so I need to ensure that her behavior is a lot better before I even consider breeding. And the plan was that if I could get her, you know, significantly better, that to put her in pup towards the end of 24, maybe about now, beginning of 25. And I've got people waiting for puppies. But as soon as I found out about her heart murmur, that was a no. Not happening. I'm not breeding Daxies with health problems. Not intentionally, anyway. Yeah, that was a massive blow for me. And, you know, I chatted through it with Heidi. She said, look, you know, it's not going to affect her until old age. She's, you know, she'll be fine to compete. She'll be fine to do everything. She obviously agreed no breeding. So at some point I may come to the point where I think about spaying Mizzle, but I don't want to ruin her coat, which that would ruin her coat. And there is the argument that the hormones that she does have are helping her confidence currently. It's if she continued to have lots of phantoms and things like that. And the only reason why I got Ripple spayed was because she started having hormonal issues, and I would rather have a spayed dog than a dead dog. And that was kind of the way it was going with Ripple. But that's a whole other story.
So yeah, that was a hard thing to face. But I think in some ways took the pressure off, and I just thought, well, if she's going to be just a sports dog, I say just a sports dog, rather than a sports dog and a brood bitch, then let's focus on that. And that's what we've been doing. And she's loving it. And I'm loving doing the stuff with her. I think the addition of Ada, because Ada came along, obviously she was only ever going to be a foster, but Ada the Labrador, she came along at the beginning of last year. And I think having, you know, that typical Labrador energy of, woohoo, you know, like life is exciting and I must go and meet everything has helped Mizzle. So yeah, she's, Miz is a complex character, but an absolute clown, still as tiny as ever. Can't believe she's going to be 3 in August. Like, I don't know where the time goes. But yeah, it's been a journey. And I hope that for some of the listeners that you are starting to think, okay, even Sarah really, you know, balls that one up. Maybe I'm not so bad. But yeah, she's a cracking dog. She just has quirks, which are getting less. And I don't want her to be an absolute robot. I don't want that. I want her to have personality. Just need to make more improvements with her barking around certain things. She's, you know, like, you probably sat there thinking, oh, okay, she's a barky little shit. I call her a barky little shit regular, but she's not actually the funniest. So yeah, just work to continue doing this year with her, really. But last year was a big, big, big steps in progress for her, despite the fact that Ada was here and distract and took me away from, you know, putting a lot of the work in that I wanted to with Mizzle, but somehow was managing it. We'll see how it works out with the new job now, because a week in and it's just trying to work stuff out of where I'm going to start to be able to still do all the things around that. But, you know, that's life. You work it out. And the dogs have got to have what they've got to have. You know, I've got to still be continuing with the team. And yeah, it's just the way it is. Anyway, I will leave it there for now. And I will be back next week. Have a good week. Take care. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Dog Gone Wrong podcast. If you could do me a quick favour, like or follow the pod, rate and leave a review, and maybe share with a dog-owning friend. Let's get the word out there and ensure there is less guilt around the mistakes. Thank you again, and we'll be back next week.